So Les was talking last week about being the gates of heaven. He was talking from Genesis 28, for those of you who weren't here. And it says, when Jacob laid down to sleep, he had a dream of a ladder going up to heaven and angels ascending and descending. Can you turn the boom down a bit on my mic? Do you mind doing that, Dad? Thanks. So yeah, that's in Genesis 28. And the angels of God were ascending and descending into heaven. And Jacob woke up and said, I didn't realize that heaven was in this place. Isn't this the house of God, the gate of heaven? And Les was obviously talking to us last week. Can the boom come down a bit more? I feel like I'm whispering. And Jacob had a revelation of the house of God was the gate of heaven. That where the house of God is, that's where heaven touches earth. And then next he showed us when Jesus was alive, he said to Nathanael, you will see even greater things than this. You will see angels descending and ascending on the Son of Man. And what Jesus was saying there is, it was key. He said, if you notice, he said the Son of Man. He didn't say Son of God, Son of Man. He was setting an example for us at that point. That I am the house of God. That angels ascend and descend. That you can have an open heaven over a geographic area, but also us as believers carry an open heaven. That angels from us descend and descend. That from our very words, when we speak the words of God, angels are commissioned. They're released, they go up into heaven and they bring heaven back down to us. So this is what God was bringing us into last week. That we are the gates of heaven. That we release heaven with what we say and what we do. But like Jacob, he said, I wasn't aware of it. I really believe the Holy Spirit's bringing us into a place of awareness. That is this season. And I just encourage you, start to cultivate his presence, that awareness of that open heaven. Because like we sang this morning, we have full access. He has made a way by his blood right into the Holy of Holies. He tore the veil right in two. And now we just boldly come right into the Holy of Holies, right into his presence, right face to face before him. And we can take that very presence out into the world. So that's where I want to kick off this morning. And then Les obviously touched on Acts 2. So if we go there, I've got quite a few scriptures to go through this morning. But hopefully it will build a picture of what I believe God wants to do in us and through us. So Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And then this is the bit I want to focus on. Now there were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together. So Les was talking last week about releasing a sound of heaven. Being that very gateway of heaven that we release through our lives what's going on in heaven. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. That's where it all started, where they heard a sound of heaven and people started to gather because they heard a sound. And I want to encourage you, what Holy Spirit is doing at the moment, people are going to start to gather around it. They're not going to gather around our good evangelism ideas. Actually, they don't want to know. But when they hear the sound of heaven, they're going to start gathering. I don't know if you noticed last week, there was about three or four tourists standing at the door as we were worshipping and praising. They were just absolutely in awe, just gawking at us, saying, what is this stuff? And I hear on Friday night as well, you had an unsaved guy come in and just sit and just want to be there. When we become carriers of his presence, people are drawn. I remember Bill Johnson saying that the desire of the nations lives in us. That's what they're looking for. They're going to start to come drawing to this. But we need to be aware of it, because we have the fullness of God living in us. But how much are we aware? Because as soon as we are aware and we connect with the Holy Spirit, like we've done this morning, it's like his manifest presence comes. Imagine London with people walking around with the manifest presence. Imagine the London hearing the sound. It happened in Acts, where people kept on hearing the sound of heaven. And they said to the disciples, "We know you, we've heard. We've heard about the great things that you've been doing in other cities. And we want that in this city. We want to be going up to people, offering to pray for them." And they said, "I've heard about you. I've heard that sound. And there's going to be a sound reverberating around this city. The sound of heaven, the sound of healing, deliverance. Because it's not an empty sound. It brings his presence. It brings his glory. It transforms. It resonates with their heart. There's a heart cry out there and they're waiting to hear the right sound. They fill it with so many other sounds. That's why music is a defining thing in culture. You notice that everyone forms tribes around music because they're all looking for a sound. Does that sound resonate with me? Holy Spirit, give us that sound. Yeah. 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 I'll be aware of that sound. Holy Spirit, open our ears. Open our eyes. Yeah. Open our hearts to receive and be incubators for that sound. Yeah. It says in Proverbs, "Guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life." Yeah. The more we guard our hearts, the more we can become incubators of what God wants to do, rather than aborting it. I don't know if you find, I found that in my life. God will start working me, but unless I guard it, sometimes it gets aborted. It's that seed. And sometimes it's so tender. But unless we nourish it and feed it, and that's what this awareness is so important at this time, I encourage you, just keep on coming into his presence and being more and more aware, and it will grow. Yeah, everything comes from his presence. We've got to be people that encounter him. Yeah. I just want to show you some other scriptures in regards to that. Where shall I start? Encounter. There's two people in the Bible that are really sticking out to me. Obviously Jesus, and the other person is Samuel. And I just want to read you some scriptures. Samuel, you don't need to necessarily turn there because there's a lot. But Samuel was a man of God who lived before the presence of God. It's actually said that he even slept before the fire of God in the presence in the temple. He lived in that place. And actually, that's when he started to hear God. I want to encourage you, if you don't particularly hear God, get near his presence. Get around people that are full of his presence. You'll start to hear God very quickly. It says in that time, chapter 3, 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'll just read these, don't need to turn there. "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There was not many visions." That's not God's intention. And for that, God brings up Samuel. And it says, "The lamp of God," this is verse 3, "the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called to Samuel." Just before his presence. We want to be people of his presence who just live in his presence. Do we need to go anywhere for his presence? No. He lives inside us. It says in James, if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. So I'm just going to read a few scriptures that are just wrecking me at the moment. So Samuel lived before the presence of God. And obviously it says before that time, the word of God wasn't revealed to him. And then God encountered him. And then it says after he encountered God, it says this in 1 Samuel 3:19. "He let none of his words fall to the ground." See, if we become people that live before his presence, none of our words will fall to the ground. When we hear the sound of heaven, when we hear what heaven's doing and just speak that, none of our words will fall to the ground. How close are we? How aware are we of heaven? Yeah. And it says in 1 Samuel 2:21, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. Yeah. That's how we become mature in God. We grow up in his presence. That's our lifeblood, in his presence. And it says in 1 Samuel 2:26, Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and men. And then interestingly, it says of Jesus the same thing in Luke 1:80. Jesus grew and became strong in spirit. And then 2:40, Jesus became strong. He was filled with wisdom and the grace of God was upon him. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and the favor with God and man. See, we obviously know Jesus was a man who dwelt with God, that he only did what he saw the Father doing, that he lived in intimate communion all the time. But that's how he grew in stature, like Samuel. He grew in stature and favor with God and man. Jesus. Let's just go to Proverbs 16. It might seem a bit bitty at the moment, but I just want to build a picture. Proverbs 16:15. When a king's face brightens, it means life. His favor is like the rain cloud in spring. Read it again. When a king's face brightens, it means life. His favor is like a rain cloud in spring. See, we're called right into the Holy of Holies, face to face with God, to encounter him. And when his face brightens, it means life. See, we can become the reflection of his face. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians, that we see his glory like in a mirror. And we get renewed from glory to glory. That's the principle of the Bible. That when his face brightens, it means life. We receive life from him, and his favor is like a rain cloud. I want to say that if you feel like you're not having a move of the Spirit at the moment, just get before his face. His favor will be like rain clouds in your life. There'll be an outpouring that starts. So, Father, I just pray that you just release that favor like a rain cloud in spring. That we don't work for your favor, Lord Jesus. That you've given it to us freely. That we just need to come and receive it. Yeah, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. We want a fresh outpouring, Lord. A fresh outpouring. Yeah. That your face is brightening. That you're not angry. Yeah. 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 Yeah, if we just go to quickly to Hebrews 4. This is the key bit of the message. If you can take anything home with you today, this is the key thing. We want to be people that reveal God. And that's our calling, that we're sons of God. That's what all creation is longing for the sons of God to be revealed. So we want to be people that reveal him. But we can't do it on our own. We need to be empowered. We need to live in the power of the Spirit. And in Hebrews 4, it gives us a clue. how to live that life. Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. See, if we want to impact this city, we have to live full of the grace of God. The grace of God, it doesn't cover our sins. The grace of God empowers us to live as Christ. So we need this city to be full of the grace of God. That's the beauty of the gospel. We can do nothing. It's all by the grace of God. Paul said, all I am is but the grace of God. Full of grace. What did it say about Jesus? Full of the grace of God. Why did he do the things he did? Because he was full of the grace of God. Where do you go and get that grace? From his throne. From his presence. Whenever you're struggling, just come before his throne. Come before his presence. Ha ha. Father, I just receive your grace. Your empowerment. Ha ha. And we take that presence, that power, we take it out. Yeah. If you see someone sick, you don't have to have a half an hour worship time. Just come into his presence and say, Father, I just receive that. I receive that grace and just release it. It's as simple as that. The grace is there. Like we sang this morning, there's a river flowing from his throne. A river of life. It says in Ezekiel that wherever it went, it brought healing. In Revelation, it says that there will be healing. The leaves of the trees by the river will be healing for the nations. What does these nations need? They need healing. He's provided for it, but it's all in the river. Where did Jesus say the river was? Yeah, if you believe in me, if you come and drink, out of you will flow rivers of living water. Straight from the throne of God. The throne of God in you, there's a river just waiting to be released. That is the power of God that this world is waiting for. Amen. Amen. Full of grace. Hopefully this is making sense. Hopefully it's building a picture for you. That we want to be full of that grace. Because in Acts 4, and I'm jumping around quite a bit. See, the Spirit is not just one outpouring. Yes, we get baptized in the Spirit, but we want to be constantly filled with the Spirit. That's what Ephesians says. Constantly filled with him. And we know this scripture really well, but in Acts it talks, after they've just been persecuted, they go back and pray, Lord, consider their threats, this is in verse 29, and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. So they're coming before his throne and saying, Lord, we need great boldness. We want that grace. Enable, that's basically what grace is. It enables you to do his work. So enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders. I want to say to you, wherever there's grace, there's signs and wonders. If you live in a place of encounter, if you live in a place of receiving his grace all the time, signs and wonders will follow you. Because he leads us in his triumph. Through your name of your holy servant Jesus, it's always through him. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So they had another infilling of the Holy Spirit. They weren't content with where they were. They were like, Father, we need greater anointing. We need a greater move of your Spirit because this city needs to be further impacted. And that's where we're at the moment. We have a measure, but God wants to outpour even more, and that's what he's doing. But we need the tools to know that we can come before him to get that grace. But here's the interesting bit. All the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed, this is on from 32, they had possessions of their own. But they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord and Jesus. And much grace was upon them all. So like I said, it's the grace that enables us to live a miraculous life. So we come into his presence. We come and Holy Spirit, we're desperate for you. Because it's pride to say if we don't need him. Oh, I've had an infilling 10 years ago. Well, you need his presence now to go with you. We're not content with the level we're doing. Because in Ezekiel's vision of the throne and of the river, it got deeper the further it went out. So it's got to get deeper in our lives. We need to be measuring our river and saying, it's only that high, God, I need it further. See, we don't want to pray for people and get disappointed. We want to then get hungry and come back and go, God, fill us anew. Fill us with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Then we get shaken. Then we go out and much grace is upon us. See, I believe that God is raising a body of people. It's not just one or two. It says much grace was upon them all. That it's not going to be Les and Dot going out with the grace of God. That all of us, much grace is upon us. Because we've become a people of encounter. We've gone right to the throne. We've released the rivers of living water that's within us. And we bring healing to this nation. That's what the nation's waiting for, that sound. The sound of many rushing waters. What did it say in Revelation? His voice is like many rushing waters. See, when we hear his voice and speak what he's saying, our voices will be like many rushing waters. If we want fire released, the fire of God in this country, then we just have to look into these eyes of fire. Because we only reflect what we see. So the Israelites, sadly, it says of them, they exchanged their glory, it says in Psalms. I think it's 119, it says, or 18 even. That they exchanged their glory for the image of a fattened calf. See, we've got glory. We've got glory already. We're not trying to aim to glory. We've got glory. But we don't want to exchange that glory for something else. And how do we do it? It's what we look at. What are we worshipping? Because we become like what we worship. So I want to be like Jesus. Because the minimum standard, it says in 1 John, if you claim to be his disciples, hopefully this is all not too bitty and it's making sense. But if we claim to be his disciples, we must walk as he did. Amen. That's the minimum standard. If you claim to be his disciple, you must walk as he did. That for me just rocks me every time because I know I'm not there. I know I'm not there. I must walk as he did. And whenever the Bible gives you a command, there's the grace to fulfill it. If all you have to do is engage your faith and say, God, you said it. I can't do it in my own strength, but by your grace I can do it. So God is looking for a people that walk like Jesus as their minimum requirement. Well, let's just start from that point and then work forwards. Because if his kingdom is ever increasing, then surely that should happen in our lives, that we go from glory to glory. That we go from strength to strength, from faith to faith. That let's not get passive and just say, yeah, we've got everything. Because the danger is sometimes people get, I've got everything in Christ, I've got the fullness. But actually, we've got the fullness, but how much are we living in? How much are we accessing? How much are we activating? And we want to become people that are just like hungry for more of God. Because hunger, it says in Proverbs, the man's hunger drives him on. I can't remember the beginning bit of the work. It's something like a man's appetite works for him and his hunger drives him on. See, what is your appetite? Because your appetite dictates your hunger and that's what you're driving for, regardless if you're aware of it or not. So change your appetite. If you're not hungry for the word, just eat it. Just read it and read it and read it. You'll find that you'll start to get hungry for it. The trouble is, if you're feeding yourself with something else, that's what you hunger for. Change your appetite, then your hunger will drive you on. Father, increase our hunger for your word. Increase your hunger for your kingdom. Holy Spirit, I'm asking right now that you just come and give us revelation of our appetites. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because you said the hungry will be filled. Yes. Yeah. Mm. Yes. Yeah. I don't know who said it, but I always remember a guy who said, before he got saved, that his friend was the closest thing to Jesus. And you know, we've got people all around us at the moment, and we're the closest thing that they're ever going to see of Jesus. But what measure of Jesus are we walking in? Because we are. Jesus on the earth. It says in John, as he is, so are we in this world. And it's not anything we've got to do, because it says, as he is, so are we in this world. We don't have to do anything, we just need to be. We just need to be him. Yeah. So much to say. Yeah. People of encounter. Because what we encounter, that's what other people are going to encounter. Do you know the revelations that God gives you? That he requires you to steward those revelations. They're not just there for just nice sort of preachers or talks or whatever. They're there to draw other people into that revelation. That God gives you a revelation is an invitation for you to experience that thing. And if you grasp that, the word starts becoming fun because you start to read stuff and you see it as an invitation rather than a command. Or I'm not living up to that level. All the word is an invitation. This is God's standard. And the law says you must meet this standard. Grace says, come and encounter me, receive grace and you'll live it. Then the Bible starts becoming fun. You start reading it and saying, yep, I'm going to invite, I see you're inviting me to that, Lord, okay. And that's when scriptures start to poke at you, start to come out at you, that's revelation. And take those revelations seriously because God's inviting you into something. See, we can encounter him in worship, but we can also encounter him in his word because his spirit and his word never disagree. So in the natural, we always think encountering God is having a vision of him or whatever, but encountering him is just literally him transforming our hearts. So just let the word transform you. As you've changed your appetite, then you're hungering after the word. Start to let him invite you into things. You'll start to see things in the word you've never seen before. Start to become fun and enjoyable. Yeah. He's looking for people to reveal him. We start to become stewards of his nature. It says that we are made in the image and likeness of God. Well, it says Adam was made in the image and likeness of God. And he lost that. He was disconnected from God. But when Jesus came again, what did he do? He made us a new creation. He gave us his image and his likeness. But my quest is how much of the likeness of God am I living in? I am a new creation, that's who I am. But how much of it am I walking in? How much of his likeness? When people look at me, they say, you're like God. Not just in character, but in his very nature. Because it says in creation, every time that he spoke, he said it was good. Whatever he created. And then it says, I think it's in Ephesians, that we're created for good works. Those same good works. Good works is not just helping a granny over the street. Good works is speaking worlds into being. That your words have power. That he's destined us for good works. That when you go into your workplace, what you declare those things that are not as though they were. That's the good works he's got. The good works that he's got for you is releasing his kingdom, releasing that sound of heaven, releasing. Because you're the gate. What you let in or what you let out goes out. Yeah, Father, I ask you just release the spirit of faith right now that we would know the hope of our calling, the riches of our inheritance. Because you need the inheritance to fulfill the hope of your calling. You can't do it without knowing your inheritance. So, Father, I just release the inheritance of God right now into this place. And do you know what the inheritance of God is? Romans says, in Romans 4, it says we inherit God himself. He doesn't just give us his possessions, he gives himself. That's why we've got no choice. Either in this life or the one to come, you're going to be like Christ. Exactly like him. So we've got a choice. When he comes back, we can see him and be like him. Because the scripture says, when we see him, we'll be like him. Or we can do it in this life by encounter. And the more we see him, the more we get transformed into his image. See, I'd prefer it now. I'm not waiting for heaven to be like him. But I know that it's a responsibility on my part to approach the throne of grace and to receive grace for my time of need. Yeah. Yeah. Just tell me when you want me to stop talking. Yeah. Jesus. Jesus. More Holy Spirit. Yeah, more Holy Spirit. Yeah. More Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, make us more aware of your kingdom. Yeah. That we lack no good thing. That we have riches in glory. Yeah. See, encounters activate the resources within you. See, after the fall, man had to toil and work for what they had. Now Jesus has made the resources of heaven available to us. And all we have to do is approach that throne of grace, receive it, and release it. So anyone who feels like they're in lack right now, if you want to stand up, if you're comfortable standing up, I just really believe the Holy Spirit wants just to break you free from lack. Release. This is just going to be encountering in practice. See, if you've got a need in your life, what I mean by lack, I don't mean just financial lack. I mean you're lacking what Christ has said he's paid for you. So it could be healing need, could be a financial need, could be a job. Yeah. And just approach his throne of grace and to receive that grace. To receive those riches. Yeah. Jesus said, I go before you to prepare a place. You can go to that place right now. You don't need to wait until you die. That place is your inheritance. You don't need to die to get that inheritance. Jesus already did. You just receive. So as we're just right before his throne, just tell him your need. Yeah, you've got to acknowledge your need. It says you'll find grace in your time of need. You've got to acknowledge your need. Just let him pour that grace into your life. He might start to give you a vision. He might tell you what he's giving you. He might give you a word. Yeah, Holy Spirit, more. More Holy Spirit. Yeah. 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 So yeah, as believers, it's good that we get other people to pray for us. As long as it doesn't negate the fact that we have access to the Father who supplies all our needs from his riches in heavenly places. Yeah. Just receive that grace. Holy Holy Spirit. Yeah. Yeah. Shemakuma da da da. Tikana. Kieta no no city. Jesus. Yeah. Hamakula, honey. Yeah. See, the grace you've been given, this is the wonderful thing about God's grace. It's transferable, it's not just for you. It says in Psalm 23, when he fills your cup, it overflows. He doesn't just, he's extravagant, he wastes. He fills you, he gives you that grace to overflowing so it can touch other people's lives. So what I want to do next is, if everyone who needs healing in their body can go and stand over that side of the room, and I want you to pray for each other. Because if that's the grace that you've asked for, you've been given it and you can give it away. And like a river flows through. Often what happens sometimes is when we're releasing the grace and the river of life is flowing through us from the throne, it affects us as well as them. That healing anointing will flow through you, healing you as you choose to release it to others. And then all of those who are in some sort of financial need, whether it be a job, whatever, if you go and stand at the back over there and then pray for each other. Just get into pairs and pray for each other. And just release that grace that you've received. And then if there's any other needs that you don't mind saying, you can get into groups. Just shout them out. Doesn't have to necessarily be your need, but anything. Yep. So another group at the front here who just really want understanding, wisdom, revelation. That, like what I was saying about earlier, about having more hunger for the word, changing your appetite, having more hunger, getting more revelation, that revelation becoming an invitation so you can then walk in those things that God's calling you into. So if that's one of your needs, then go to the front there. Any other things? Coming into a place of rest, cool. At the back there, anyone who just asked God for coming into a place of rest, just go and pray for each other and release that grace over each other. So, for those who are already in their groups, feel free to just start praying. Just, yeah, for those who don't have a group, as my lovely wife just pointed out, just get together into pairs and then ask each other what their need was, if they have a need, and then pray for each other. Just release that grace. So, for example, if you're praying with someone and they've got a different need to what you asked for, just you come to the throne of grace, get that grace for them, release it over them. That's how we can become a conduit of heaven. So if you guys who are sitting around, if you want to get into pairs, you're more than welcome to. Feel free.